This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know, hear from the experts, authors, and others, and hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, big night tonight in hockey. It's L.A. versus New York, and we'll pass out your bandwagon pamphlets in a little bit. And what do you think of homeschooling? We'll tell you about a family who's taking this to a level nobody thought possible. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is in the newsroom today.
Yeah, you know, I think I saw that Malaysian Airlines plane, but should I tell anyone? Yeah, we'll hear from this lady.
Strapped in and ready for battle, it's Jay Capadonia.
Phil, the idea of a flying car may seem like something out of a science fiction novel, but they may be here sooner than you think.
Wow. And giving his 150%, say hello to Chris Martin.
So since Steve Ballmer offered up a mind-blowing $2 billion for the Los Angeles Clippers, a new term has been coined. It's called Clipper math. And I'll explain how it works.
Oh, I like that. All right, that's all coming up, so let's get started. And Jennifer, let's start with you. There's, what, a lady who says she saw the plane? What?
Do you love this story? British woman. Her name's Catherine T. She's saying she spotted what she believes is the missing Malaysian Air flight 370 while she was sailing in early March. But she's only now coming forward because she did not believe her eyes at the time.
Is that how she
That's what she said. Yeah. Well, she's British, so assume. Yeah. She says while she and her husband, Mark Horn, were sailing across the Indian Ocean from India to Thailand, she spotted what looked like a plane on fire during the night of March 7th. Business Insider is reporting she thought she was hallucinating. But after all the media coverage, I mean, I guess she turned on CNN, looked up the flight plan of the aircraft, discovered their journeys intersected. And the more interesting observation she made was that the plane wasn't alone. There were two other planes flying over it in the other direction. So she says, well, I remember thinking if that was a plane on fire that I'm actually seeing, well, the other aircraft would report it.
Yeah. Well, so, the most interesting observation she made was that was 2 months ago.
Right.
Or was it 3 months now?
It was a long time ago.
Yeah. I just love her explanation. It's like somebody else's problem. You know what I mean?
Well, right. And she said the more obvious answer isn't that it's a plane on fire. It was that I'm going insane.
It's all about
hallucination.
Yeah.
Let's take this tragedy and make it all about me so I can get into the headlines. Right. Way to go.
I know. Strange. Well, very strange.
Is there an outside chance she can actually be helpful to the investigation?
There's always a chance, Phil.
Yeah. All right.
let's
go with that. Good answer. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, you know what? When back when I was a kid, with all the kids on the block had BB guns.
Someone's going to lose an eye.
You don't see those that often these
no,
days.
No, you'll shoot your eye out.
Yeah.
Right. Well, listen to this. A group of teenagers in New Mexico were shooting out windshields with BB guns in Santa Fe until one of the victims jumped in his car and followed him. The kids were so rattled about being chased down by one of the guys whose car they were firing at that they freaked out and called 911.
Oh, good.
That's fantastic.
They said, the car, it's speeding up whenever we do and it's following us. They faced some property damage and also drug paraphernalia charges. Yeah. I wonder if they found any drug paraphernalia on that lady's boat.
Maybe. Oh. Yeah, and hopefully those kids didn't shoot out the windows of Christine.
Christine, another movie reference.
Yeah,
come and get ya.
Oh, you know what? It's a historic World War II week because Friday is the 70th anniversary of D-Day, and also there are some other historic angles to World War II that are coming up. In fact, something we don't hear about very often, but I think when you think back about your World War II history, we all remember the Code Talkers. Bring us back up to speed. Remind us what that is and why today we're talking about that.
Well, it's a sad story, Phil. The last of the 29 original Navajos who developed the code that stumped the Japanese during World War II has died. Chester Nez died this morning of kidney failure at the age of 93. He was just a kid when he signed up to do this. He was in the 10th grade. And he said it was one of the greatest parts of history that we used our own native language during World War II. And they were very proud of it. The Japanese did everything in their power to break the code, but they never did.
Wow.
So, So before hundreds of men from the Navajo Nation became the code talkers, but there were the 29 original guys who were recruited to develop the code based on the then unwritten Navajo language. And Chester Nez was one of them. And now he's gone.
There is a fantastic flick out there with Nicolas Cage called Wind Talkers that deals with these guys. Yeah. Phenomenal flick. And I'm not a Nick Cage fan, but this is one of those movies that I would recommend.
Well, that's high praise.
Yes, it is.
All right. That's a good impression.
Yeah. This whole thing was so instrumental in, code was a big deal back in the day.
Yeah,
you know?
Certainly
so,
was.
Yeah. A little piece of history.
Before you had encrypted messages on the computers.
Exactly.
Well, but technology today, though, is getting us closer and closer to something we've been dreaming about since we were very small children. And could flying cars become a reality soon, Jay Campadonia?
Well, here's the thing. Yes.
Sweet.
Oh, good. A company called Terra Fugia from MIT, a bunch of kids from MIT, they've developed a car with folding wings that can fly. Took 8 years to develop, but it's actually out there. Their prototype is actually already done. It can fly around 100 miles per hour at an altitude of about 10,000 feet. The article didn't say how long you get on a tank of gas, but now they're in developments to actually develop a hybrid. So the hybrid craze is now crossed over into flying cars.
A hybrid flying car that almost defeats the purpose, doesn't it?
Yeah, you would need to plug it in at some point, just like you would need to fill it up at your local gas station. But here's the thing. You would need a sport pilot license or a sport pilot certificate. So you need 20 hours of training. The company needs $30 million, Phil. That's where we're kind of running into the problem.
Chump change, though, in this day and age of Kickstarters and all that.
Yeah.
Crowdfunding.
Right. They haven't started a movement online yet, but they need the cash to get into full production. Now, here's kind of like the interesting fact in how wildly expensive this is. There's already 100 customers who have pre-ordered the car with a price tag of about $280,000. Now, that's $30 million right there. Okay, so now they need another $30 million to basically have a Ford assembly line to produce these cars out there. But they say experts on Wall Street say that they're about 2 years away from getting that $30 million, and we could have these things on the road about 2.5 years
on the road and in the sky.
Yes,
20 hours of training. That doesn't seem like enough, does it?
Well, it's a sport pilot license because you only go 10,000 feet instead of like 30,000 feet.
But you still have to take off and land and fly around cities.
But that would be the easy part.
Hey, I will invest 20 hours if I get to fly a car.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Right.
Yeah, why not?
So $30 million, 2.5 years, they're probably going to be on the road, like you said, in the sky. One of those, you know, Jetson things that are coming to
fruition.
Well,
they better get all the drones out of the way. That's all I'm telling.
I know. Can you imagine, though, like early on in the car, before they had stoplights and laws about who could go and when, it's just going to be mayhem up there in the sky.
Bedlam.
Yeah, the first few years, it's just going to be crazy. And yeah, with the drones too. And yeah. God knows what else is up there.
Yeah, they might. It might be fun, you know, chasing after drones.
Yeah. Now there you go. Now that's a new sport, Phil. Pay per view. Who can shoot down the drone in your flying car?
Never mind the BB guns. This is what the kids are going to be after.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jen, with a price tag of $279,000, I mean, that's a lot of dough for a lot of people. So you're really not going to have that many people. You've got 100 out there. That's probably worldwide.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of room out there to begin with. So
Guys like Steve Ballmer will probably have one or two in his fleet.
Right.
Isn't that right, Chris? Steve Ballmer's he's got a lot of money.
He's got a lot of money, and he's helped introducing new terms into our lexicon. I was telling you before about the Clipper math.
Yeah.
Here's how it works. According to mathematical statistics, Steve Ballmer paid 3.48, we'll say 3.5, times the value of the Clippers as they were appraised.
Okay.
So now, based on this, the New York Knicks would go for about $4.8 billion.
Wow.
The Lakers at 4.7 and second in the NBA. But let's take the math to the big time. Over in the NFL, where sports franchises are worth a little bit more,
yep,
The Dallas Cowboys would go number one. Now, Jerry Jones would never sell the Cowboys, but if he did, they'd be valued at $8 billion.
That's what I'm talking about, Cowboy Nation.
Yeah.
Based on Clipper math.
Yeah.
Look at that.
If you think it costs a lot to park at a Dallas Cowboys game now, isn't it like $150 to park at the...
What? No. For VIP parking. The parking at the stadium is just $25 like it is here at Staples.
Are you sure?
Else. Yeah.
Yeah, but how much is a ticket?
They're pretty expensive. Right. Well, I think the minimum is about like $95.
So this is Clippers math then.
So it's Clippers math. The Cowboys are followed by the Patriots and the Giants and the Jets. But another interesting thing I found was, guess what the least valuable team in the NFL is right now?
Please say the Raiders.
It is the Oakland Raiders.
Wow.
Least valuable team in the NFL.
Yeah.
Speaking of the NFL.
Sorry, Jen.
Yeah, what?
It was announced today that Super Bowl 50 will use standard numbers, not Roman numerals.
Good.
When they do their advertising for Super Bowl 50,
They've quit teaching Roman numerals in school anyway.
Well, they're going to bring them back. It's just a 1-year break.
Is that part of Common Core?
All right.
So it's Super Bowl. Wait, what's an X and an L mean?
Now, L is actually the number for 50. So they figured that Super Bowl L didn't look real
because
good.
It's like the L on your forehead?
Like a loser!
It looks boring. Yeah, it looks boring.
Yeah.
And it's a gold 5-0 on each side of it. 2016 Super Bowl will be held at Levi Stadium in San Francisco.
Okay. Any players making Clipper math money?
Well, speaking of San Francisco, 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick has reached a 6-year deal with the organization. This is a guy that 2 years ago, he was almost an unknown backup in the league. Now he will be earning up to $126 million with 61 of that
guaranteed.
Isn't
he accused of sexual assault somewhere down the line?
I was going to say,
is he being investigated?
Yeah, slightly controversial quarterback, Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, you're being investigated for sexual assault. Here's a pile of money.
I don't think that was ever.
So they're giving him a little
out.
Better than a tenth of $1 billion. That's the Clippers' way. Mm-hmm. The Clippers
Isn't
math
that how they do it in the NFL anyway? That's a bonus.
Ah. All right. Okay.
And on that note, let's go to break.
On that note.
Sorry.
Let's get out of here. And when we come back, you remember that Weekend at Bernie's movie? Well, it's something like that has happened, but it's a bit more romantic, but twice as sad. And you'll hear about it here next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. So glad you tuned in to KFWB News Talk 980 at this very moment because you are listening to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends, and that makes us happy. And we hope to return the favor. Jennifer Bjorklund is here, Jay Campidonia, Chris Martin as well. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks again. All right, so we have a lot to talk about here. In fact, there is... a story that caught my eye, in fact, it caught Jay's eye first, and when he told me about it, I just about died, which would have been great if I was married to this lady.
Yeah, a woman in Indiana is possibly facing charges after police found her dead husband lying on her living room floor. Here's the kicker. He'd been there for 9 months.
Okay.
Just lying on the living room floor.
That is sad.
And it actually gets a little bit romantic that Phil alluded to earlier. Apparently, no, not that way, Jen. Get your mind out of the gutter.
Well, where else is it supposed to go?
I'm going to tell you.
All right.
Apparently,
you
the smell got to some people who live next door, so they called the cops. Apparently, authorities say that rodents and bugs had been feasting on the guy, and it just kind of was melting into the floor. Not too happy there. But evidently, the wife went about her business. Talked to the neighbors. Hi, how you doing? Oh, it's your son's birthday. Congratulations. Things like that. The woman originally denied that her husband never died. She says that he had a stroke, but she just wouldn't believe that her husband had passed away.
Aww.
I know, right? She finally came to terms with it. Now, this is what's really interesting. She wants to have the body donated to a body ranch in Texas. And this is where scientists study how vultures feast on a body. So they can help identify when and how a body died when they find it out in the desert somewhere. Evidently, her husband, that was like his dying wish right before he had the stroke.
Why wouldn't she just donate it to a bug lab? Because that job's already been done.
Right. Well, he wanted to be feasted on by the birds, evidently. Cops are awaiting toxicology reports to see if he died or if there had been any foul play involved. So, poor thing.
Yeah. I wonder what they were like to just hang out with, like when they were both alive.
I don't know, but I suspect there are a bunch of people who would like to hang out with Maureen Dowd. You know who she is? She's a nationally syndicated writer.
Commentator.
And she made a little oopsie. Chris,
I don't know if it's
right?
An oopsie. I think she was doing her job, and I think she was doing it well. So Maureen Dowd, she's a famous writer, and she wrote a column for the New York Times. She was doing a report on legalized marijuana in Colorado. And in order to do a report, she went to Colorado. She got a hotel room, and she was staying in the city. Well, she decided to do some more investigation about what she was reporting on, and she picked up one of the candy bars, one of the pot-laced candy bars, and she started eating it in her room. And she said, this is directly from her, "For an hour, I felt nothing. But then I felt a scary shudder go through my body and brain. From there, I barely made it to from the desk to the bed where I laid curled up in a hallucinatory state for the next 8 hours.
8 hours?
So this thing had just
wrecked
her.
Sounds like she did it correctly.
Some good stuff they have there.
Yeah.
She said, I was convinced that I had died and no one was telling me.
Well, you're in a room
now
alone, sweetheart.
Yeah, now she understands the whole thing. See, it's good to know what you're writing about.
She's given a firsthand experience now when she writes this article. She went to a doctor afterwards, and the doctor told her that the bar should have been cut into 16 pieces.
Oh,
for 16
no.
People.
So she got a 16 times dose.
Yeah. She said, hey, wait a second. That wasn't on the label.
That's hilarious.
Maureen Dowd could have died. Is that what we're saying?
I don't know if she could have. I don't know if that's enough to kill a person, but she definitely went through a real bad trip. And actually, in her article, she cautions about the darker side of marijuana and feels that Colorado, you know, might be facing some of the darker side.
Yeah, you know, I did read that column, and I've heard it's kind of like amateur hour all over the place. And her experience being one that kind of illustrates that is there are no directions on the edibles, and you just munch down this candy bar, and all of a sudden you're tripping.
Next thing you know, Maureen Dowd's going to go out and get a sleeve full of tattoos, Jen.
Oh, man. Okay, so you heard about this thing in San Diego, right?
No, what?
Oh, the tattoo. Okay, we were talking about tattoos yesterday with the guy that lost the needle in his arm and it came out of his toe 40 years later. Chris, thanks for that visual that I had nightmares about.
You're welcome.
Then I see this thing in San Diego. There's this rare bacterial infection that's now linked to a contaminated ink at a tattoo parlor, and it's resistant to everything, and it's got itchy red bumps. There's a couple people that have it in San Diego. So that's one thing to think about if you want to get a tattoo. Here's another one. This is great. Of course, they're good identifying markers for you if you're a suspect in a crime, because the cops like to use them, you know, to identify you.
Sure.
But a lot of bad guys tattoo their crimes on themselves, like penal code numbers or whatever, like stars for kills. Now, apparently, investigators are looking at former New England Patriot Aaron Hernandez's tattoos. It's his right forearm that has peaked the curiosity of investigators, though they're not going to specify which design they focused on. As you know, Hernandez is accused of really a bunch of bad stuff, killing two men, wounding a third in Boston in July of 2012, also charged last year with killing this guy named Odin Lloyd, and being sued by an associate who says he shot him in the eye. So here's the deal. Photos of Hernandez show that he has five stars and some other tattoo work added to his right forearm over the past few years.
What does that mean?
Well, sometimes star tattoos have nothing at all to do with crime. We have to use the disclaimer, but sometimes they can also be used to represent killings.
Yeah,
so
like
if you have
tally
a star,
marks.
Yeah, and if you have a star that has like 8 points on it, mm-hmm. which is not like it's a weird looking, looks more like a starburst.
Yep.
That means you did 8 years.
Oh,
for that particular.
See,
thing.
I'm not happy that you know this.
Yeah,
I've done a little research.
I'm pretty sure we did a thorough background check
San
on you.
Quentin? Or, yeah. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
You know what, though? In daily life, guys, you see things that you wish you could just do something about because people clearly are not paying attention to the rules, Jay.
That is very true, Phil. Advocates for the Disabled now have an app to fight against people who are using handicapped parking spaces when they are not handicapped.
Yes, get them.
That's right. Use your smartphone and download Parking Mobility app, which allows citizen volunteers to submit photos of people who are using the handicapped parking, who are not handicapped, full with their license plate. And then basically the cops take it in and they issue a $500 ticket in some counties.
Wow. That's a great idea.
I love this idea. I wish there was more apps like this.
I'm apt to get that app.
Oh, boy.
Hey, have you ever thought much about homeschooling? I probably could have used some of that. What does it take to do that? What if you have a bunch of children of various ages? Could you pull it off and be able to successfully prepare those children for college? Up next, you're going to hear about a family. They've had spectacular success at this. 7 of their 10 kids were in college by the age of 12. It's a pretty inspiring story, and you're going to hear it right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980. You're back with As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thank you for tuning in. We're here every weekday afternoon at 2. And we're talking homeschooling right now. And Chris, bring us up to speed on this story of the Harding family. I believe they're out of Alabama. Is that right?
Yeah, I was reading about these guys. Kip Harding and his wife Mona Lisa, which cool name, right?
They definitely were, cool.
They were high school sweethearts, and now they have 10 children. Check this out.
Cool.
7 of those children have gotten into college by the age of 12.
How is that possible?
What?
Well, they do it through homeschooling. The eldest child is 26 years old, and their kids range from engineers to architects, computer scientists, musicians. They're all over the map and in these great trades. And, yeah, they did it through homeschooling. You can introduce your kids to college-level courses at any age when you teach from home.
And they've written a book. It's called The Brainy Bunch, The Harding Family's Method to College Ready by Age 12. It's a Simon & Schuster book available at all the usual places. In fact, we put a link to their Amazon page on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com. And the Hardings are on the line with us right now, I believe. Kip, Mona, Lisa, is that you?
Yeah, we're here.
All right, very good. Okay. Wait a minute. Now, you have how many children?
10.
10 children. Yeah. College ready by age 12. Now, that's hard for me to wrap my head around. How do you pull that off?
Well, like you said, you homeschool and you do it quickly.
quickly. But see, sometimes quicker isn't better. So obviously you have some kind of method to drill all the important stuff into their heads. How does that work?
Well, first off, I got to give credit to God. You know, we're a faith-based homeschooling family, but basically, if you boil it down, we figure out the interests of the child, not what the parent wants them to grow up to be, but what the child really wants to be, and we tailor their curriculum, not standardized curriculum, but tailor the curriculum to what interests them. And when you do that, by going to the library and picking out the books that they want to, you know, let them choose which books they want to read. You just see that they get motivated and stay motivated, and they don't have this broad curriculum initially that bores them to tears like we find in other situations.
Yeah, and when you say to your 8- and 9-year-old, this is high school stuff. If you want to get it done in 2 years, then you can go to a college campus and take a class in your field of interest. They are very motivated, and that's how they do it quickly.
Now, you talk about a field of interest. So you're speaking with, a 5-year-old kid at the library, and he or she shows interest in a particular subject. How do you know that that's going to continue to ring true at the ripe old age of 12?
Yeah. Well, we don't, but, you know, through a process of elimination, you kind of figure out pretty quickly what they don't want to do or don't want to be when they grow up. And then you just whittle away at that a little each time. And also, a lot of us through our lives change careers, but, you know, to leave a trail of degrees is a good thing. You do have to pay them back, but it's never wasted. It's just good knowledge that you have, and you can reinvent yourself, but you have that confidence that you gain each time you complete a college course.
Okay, so we're not taking anything away from what your kids are doing. I think that is fantastic, and the fact that they're in college by the age of 12 is amazing. I mean, I could barely fathom junior high when I was in junior high. So, but how are your kids dealing with their social skills? I mean, if you lock them into a room and let them do whatever they want, I mean, how are they playing with other kids? How do you guys address that?
Well, first of all, you don't lock them into a room. You socialize them in the real world. That's not age segregated, and show them that there are people of all ages and every culture, and they learn to interact with real people, not sitting at a desk in a classroom with only their peers.
Now, you've had some
homeschooling. They're out there in the world doing things, socializing.
Fair enough. And so to follow up on that thought here, do you get any heat from Alabama's education system or from others who say, you know, let those kids be kids, put them in public school?
Sure, we get a lot of that. We get people that just frankly come at life thinking that we all have to be the same, and I don't quite understand that. You know, if you're a single mom and you don't have the educational opportunities for your kids, you know, I feel bad about that, and I want to help you any way that I can, but I shouldn't have to go through the same public school system that you allow your kids to go through if I choose to homeschool. So it's a different way of thinking. I think it's different strokes for different folks. This is working really well for us. I believe it can work well for others. I think in California, you have a great thing called the CHSPE, the California High School Proficiency Exam, which is like a springboard into college.
Yeah, we had three of our kids take that. And I think for the people in the Los Angeles listening area, you know, if you have a junior or a senior in high school and they're ready, they're motivated, they want to go on to college, get on with their careers. You know, I think about Kylie Jenner and the opportunity she has in her life, and now here she's being homeschooled. I mean, she could take an exam like that and just get on with her life. And so there are kids out there that are just stuck in high school, and they're ready to move on. And we're just saying it's another option.
We're speaking with Kip and Mona Lisa Harding. They published the book, The Brainy Bunch, The Harding Family's Method to College Ready by Age 12. Seven of their 10 kids got to college by the age of 12. How about you two? Do either of you have teaching backgrounds or advanced degrees?
I'm working on one now, a doctorate at Alabama State University. It's a historically black college and university. And Mona Lisa is
going to take forever to get an RN degree.
But I'm a late bloomer myself, so believe me, you know, I skated through high school. I didn't have my head on it, education right. Learned the hard way, and, you know, it's never too late for us. And if I could just tell you a quick short story.
Sure.
I went to a baseball game on Father's Day many years ago in Los Angeles. LA was playing the Oakland A's, and you know, I didn't have enough tickets to get the whole family in through the gate, and so I picked a child that I think wouldn't cry, and I took her to a movie instead, and came at the end of the game, and I was so sad, and then the game went into overtime, and finally they let me in, and would you believe that game went 9 extra innings?
Oh, you got to see it a complete full game.
Yeah, it was a miracle, you know, and that happens, and but it's never too late in life for people. And so, you know, if your kid's starting out early or you're an older person, you're trying to figure out the internet and how this stuff works, Skype and all that, it can be done. Somewhere along the way, all of us Americans started to lose our dreams, and I just think we need to get back on track, all of us, and start dreaming again.
How about your next three? How old are they, and are they ready for college yet?
Well, our daughter just turned 9, and she's just average, you know. None of our kids are super geniuses. In about a year or so, we'll start talking about preparing for the ACT, which is more common down here. When we lived in California, our kids took the SAT like 10 or 11. So she's just doing and preparing for what her siblings have done.
Yeah, I like this. So if somebody listening right now wants to start homeschooling their kids, I mean, you know the ups and downs, and you probably have the tips for somebody who wants to start out. What should they know before they go there?
Well, here's the thing. There are some that they start out homeschooling and then they go back to a public institution. But I haven't yet heard the case where they go back and they're behind. It's always they're ahead or they come back at the same level. So if you want to take a risk, take a risk. Give it a try. Your kid will love you for it. You spend more time with them. And, you know, I just think it's a great choice for a lot of people. And I hope that people will make that choice.
A pleasure speaking with you, and I am so impressed, and we'll continue to follow, and I want everybody to check out the book, and it sounds like a good one. It's published on Simon & Schuster, The Brainy Bunch, The Harding Family's Method to College Ready by Age 12, and we have a link to your Amazon purchase page on the links page of philhewlettandfriends.com. Thank you, Hardings, and good luck with your next three, getting them into college as well,
yeah,
by age 12.
Sure.
All right, there you go. How about that, huh? Pretty amazing.
I find it interesting, if I can, real quick, that I think there is something to, like, gearing your kids a certain direction when they're younger, because look at all their kids, of the seven of them that went to college, they all took different routes. You
right.
know? Which is interesting, because you think if they had yeah. this cult-like atmosphere, they'd all go the same direction. They'd all be scientists or engineers or whatever, but they did allow them to all choose their own direction.
Yeah. See? How about you, Jen? You were more or less homeschooled, weren't you?
No, I was not. But, you know, I wonder about – here's my thing. I did not like math. I didn't like it, didn't like it, didn't like it. And then when I got to be about 14 or 15, I started kind of getting it. And then I loved it. And then it was my strongest subject when I got into the whole geometry and trig and calculus. So I wonder if you rush into something before your brain – I think your brain develops over time, and maybe I'm a slow learner too, but you know, I wonder about that.
Yeah, me too, but I think we're all ready to learn right out of the womb, and it's a matter of what kind of input and encouragement that we get from the right or wrong people along the way is what ultimately shapes us. And
yeah, you bet.
Yeah, well, all right, let's move on to the next topic. The Stanley Cup Final begins tonight with the Kings and the Rangers playing at Staples, and we know a lot of people are new to hockey. Perhaps you are as well, and maybe you need a little primer on the basics of the game. You need to understand who the Kings are. Well, we're going to do that for you next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Hope you have your sweater on for this segment here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. You know, just because one of the biggest hockey championships in history is about to begin, I don't want to assume you follow the sport or even know the rules of the game or who the players are. In fact, if I'm talking about you, the fact is you are in the majority. So as a basic public service, we want you to meet our next guest. David Montero is a staff writer for the Orange County Register. He wrote a Stanley Cup cheat sheet for the Register, and we want to review some of it with him right now. Hi, David. First of all, you're a gigantic hockey fan, right?
How you doing? No, not a big hockey fan.
Oh, well, see, that's why this is even better. So why did you set out to do a primer on hockey? So was it more of a journey for you as well as the audience?
I should start saying that I actually grew up here, and I remember the Kings back in the day with the purple jerseys and the crown on the front. And
sure.
I really was intrigued by them, but when I was a kid, and I'm going to date myself here, there wasn't a whole lot of hockey to be played in Southern California as a kid, so it didn't really lend itself to further exercise and doing it, so I got into baseball instead. So anyway, I've always kind of like watched the Kings a little bit, but not paid as much attention. So when this was all happening and they kept winning, I kept seeing Game 7 all the time showing up, and I'm like, oh, wow, this is really something. And then Game 7 against the Blackhawks happened, and we had it on the TV at our house. And when they won, I thought, wow, like, this is kind of exciting, and I bet a lot of people would like to be a part of this now because it's games. It is.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it is exciting, especially those overtime Game 7s. You either win or your season's over. Now that you're on the bandwagon, David.
Come on.
Let's go through a few things. And
Phil, not everybody is a bad guy if they're not a Ducks fan.
No,
it's fine.
It's fine. No, I get it. It's a little like the Olympics when Team USA and Canada were playing. Everybody was a hockey fan. So
and I should say that I probably would have done this for the Ducks, too. But what occurred to me was I thought if someone wanted to get excited about this, but they didn't want to look like the person who hadn't been following anything, maybe there's a few things you can do to kind of help yourself along.
Yeah, well, let's go through some of these, and I'll help. I promise to help you along the way if you stumble. So don't worry, okay?
Appreciate it.
So first, what do we need to know about the Los Angeles Kings?
Well, I guess the first thing is kind of how they got to the final. I think that was kind of an important thing. So you want to be able to talk about the fact that they, you know, defeated the Sharks. That's and as Darrell Evans helped out in the story quite a bit, he explained, you know, that Game 3 was the turnaround for that in his mind. And I was intrigued by that because Game 4 was the elimination game, but when you say Game 3 was the key, when you say it to a casual bandwagoner or someone else, they kind of think you know what you're talking about because, hey, you know, you're not looking at the obvious point. You're looking at something that's a little deeper than the obvious.
And we should mention Darrell Evans, by the way, former Kings player, currently the Kings color commentator on the radio side, correct?
Yes, exactly. So I was like, oh, that's good. You know, it's kind of like you want to kind of, I mean, not lie, but you're sort of kind of maybe over-representing your knowledge. And so I thought that was a good, interesting point.
But see, you can describe the style of play that the Kings have been bringing out for the playoffs, right?
Yeah. So he mentioned that. So they said the style of play was that the Kings are a grinding team. And they like to play with four lines. They wear you down. They finish their checks in all three zones. And they're constantly in your face. And I thought, boy, if you say that to somebody, that person's probably going to think, yeah, this guy.
Hardcore hockey fan.
He knows the Kings. That's pretty cool. High five you and maybe buy you a beer or something.
Okay, but can you recite the critical players' names?
So, you know, I think that usually a little bit is all you need. And so you want to say, like, Marion Gaborik. He was the guy they acquired.
All right, so say it with me now. Marion Gaborik.
Gaborik.
It's a Gaborik. Yeah, accent on the first part. Gaborik.
Stop showing off.
Okay. Yeah. All right. No, that's fine. I do that for a living, so it's okay.
And if you say it correctly, and you present in such a way that he was a critical acquisition, again, you are showing some knowledge that perhaps an average person, average bandwagoner, may not have picked up on.
Yeah, and little things, too, that you know it's the Stanley Cup final and not the finals, yeah, like all the TV news people do. It makes me mad. And you also know it's Staples Center, not the Staples Center.
Yes, yes.
Little things like that. But how about, do you know anything about the rules of the game?
A little bit. I don't know a ton. And I think that's, you probably want to stay away from something like that. Again, I think it's more about you want to focus on the Kings and your knowledge of the Kings. You know, I think the point of the 59 playoff games in the past three seasons is a great tidbit for someone to bust out against someone and say, hey, you know, that's more than anybody's played. And they'll play a minimum of 63 and how that speaks to the way they play. That's, again, shows some knowledge. And by that point, you've probably, you know, sold the other person on the fact that you've been following them for a while.
And then you can add this, too. You could always say, you know, I think the game's gotten a lot better ever since they got rid of the two-line pass. Just try that. You'll be okay. All right. How about here's the simple one. You got to know this. How many games do you have to win the Stanley Cup?
Four.
No, that's just the final. From the beginning of the playoffs all the way to the end.
You can maybe do math.
No, that's okay. So you have eight teams in the East, eight in the West, 16 teams, and you have to win four series. And so that's 16 teams, 16 wins. You get the cup.
Journalism, we don't do math.
That's quite all right.
That's why I talk on the radio,
let's
too.
Get the home,
so it's
let's
fine.
Get the homeschool people back on, can we? Bring back the Hardings. All right. And let's okay. So and tell us a couple more things. What else is going to help you in this conversation to make people believe you're full in hockey?
I mean, I think that again, you know, it's those details along with the with some of the obvious points. You know, you want to know who the coach is. You know, Daryl Sutter, and you want to know who the goalie is, Jonathan Quick. I think if you can, you know, make sure you know, some of the bigger points too.
Yeah, and you probably should just know the name of the Rangers goalie too, and it's Henrik Lundqvist. And you have to get a little bit of a thist in there. Lundqvist.
Lundqvist.
It's like a little, like you would order it at a Swedish restaurant.
Lundqvist.
Yes. Lundqvist. Yeah, almost like a Q and a W together. So this sounds good. I believe, after hearing you, that you are not just on the bandwagon. You are an actual hockey fan.
Yeah, well, might be a stretch, but I am certainly paying attention.
And that's good. And I recommend that everybody watch the game tonight, because it will make you pay attention, because it's hard not to.
I will be. And my son, I should say, who is 8, actually enjoys hockey, and he watches it.
Good.
So he's kind of on board already.
Snap into it, Dad.
Yep.
For your son, for the very least. All right. Read David Montero's hockey cheat sheet and all of his other works online at ocregister.com. A pleasure to speak with you, David, and enjoy the game.
I appreciate the time. Thank you.
There you go. See? Not even a big hockey guy, but he sounded like one, didn't he?
I love when we bring experts on and then you school them on what exactly hockey is and what hockey isn't.
He was my pansy.
Yeah.
I was grinding him. That's what I was doing. Just like some seniors at a high school were grinding their principal, Jay.
You know, there's been a lot of terrible news coming out of Santa Barbara lately. Well, here is something that might kind of brighten your day. So it's senior prank time. It is graduation time, so seniors are getting ready. And these seniors at Santa Barbara High School have probably pulled off one of the most annoying yet phenomenal senior pranks. A bunch of guys got together and they hired a 4-piece mariachi band to follow the principal around for the entire day.
Oh, no.
The entire day. It's actually fantastic. There's videos online. And, I mean, can you imagine?
Is there a guy with the trumpet?
There's two trumpets, one trombone, and then one of those big guitars. Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, I love
boom,
it.
Boom. I mean, I love eating at a Mexican restaurant, but sometimes when you go on Sundays and they have the mariachi band, enough can be enough very quickly.
And up in Magic Mountain in the beautiful park-like city of Valencia, enough is enough for a historic roller coaster, Chris, and I'm sad to see it go.
Yeah, Colossus is being shut down in August 16th. Bummer, right?
The big, noisy wooden one.
Yeah, it's a 36-year-old. It's the king of all wooden roller coasters, Phil. It's 36 years old, one of the world's tallest and fastest at 13 stories tall, going over 60 miles per hour, drops of over 100 feet.
Colossus, I'm going to miss you.
Yeah, they've been running it backwards as part of a promotion.
Oh,
jeez, really?
Yeah.
That's a good way to lose your corn dog.
Hey, send us an email. We love your comments. Feedback at philhewlettandfriends.com. On Twitter, we're at As We See It Show. Our website is philhewlettandfriends.com. Thanks, Mag Stark, for producing. Nick Wright, for helping out. For Jennifer, for Jay, Chris, I'm Phil. Can't wait to talk with you next time when we call it As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.